Well, what I wanted to talk about a little bit today is about the Spirit. In the Scripture, it talks about being led by the Spirit or walking by the Spirit. And I like those two expressions because the first one kind of denotes being led by the Spirit. It kind of denotes the idea of being helpless or needing help, you know, and being under submission to be led by someone. It means that you don't know where you're going, but that person is going to bring you to hopefully a good place, right? And we know that the Spirit does that, is that we need to be led by Him because we don't know where we're going. The other one talks about being walking by the Spirit. And the idea of walking is it's a process. You know, you take one step and you take another step and you keep going, right? And so it also speaks to me of companionship, because if you're walking with somebody, it means you're there communicating with them and as part of that. But to talk about this, to see it maybe a little more deeply, I wanted to, you know, when we first tell somebody about Christ, we say, well, you need to receive Christ into your life and just believe in Jesus and you'll be saved, right? And all of that is true, and it's a very simple transaction, so to speak, simple process. But with the on the Lord's side, it's a little more complicated or more involved. And to look at that, I wanted to look at Ezekiel 36, starting at 26. So Ezekiel 36, 26. And God is speaking, and He's talking about this. And He says, I will give you a new heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. So here He is. He's talking about our spirit. He's saying that He's going to give us a new heart, which is our spirit, and He's going to put a new spirit within us. So we have a spirit, and He's saying He's going to replace our spirit or our attitudes to be different. And He says, I'll take out the heart of stone and out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So the idea with this is that before we come to the Lord, we discover that we have a very hard heart. And what that talks about is that, you know, we have a hard heart because maybe we've been hurt and we're holding back from relationship, and we have a hard time relating to people. And all we think about is ourselves. And so our heart is hard because we're very self-centered, and everything is about us and what we want done. And if they don't do it right, you know, we're upset with them. And our feelings are such that, you know, we're upset or angry with people all the time. And it's just because we don't have a sensitive heart anymore. Our heart is hard. It's actually, in the Scriptures, it says it's a stone. And a stone is something that cannot be penetrated. So God is saying He'll take that out and give us a heart of flesh. Now, a heart that is now soft and able to receive and to give and to have a relationship out of our heart. And He says He's going to give us that. And then He says, I will put My Spirit within you and cause you to walk by My statutes, and you will keep My judgments and you will do them. So He's just making a statement. This is what's going to happen. When your heart is renewed and you receive My Spirit, then you're going to want to do what God is about. Because a hard heart is a rebellious heart. It doesn't want to have a relationship with God, and you don't want anything to do with God. And we're at this place that we need the Lord to come in. To express this deeper, I wanted to look at it. It's in Matthew chapter 5, It's one of the Beatitudes. And the Beatitude is actually one of my favorite ones. It says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." See, when we have a soft heart and able to receive from the Lord and be able to give and we're able to handle things, you know, that's what it's talking about. It's saying that if we're meek, we'll inherit the earth. Well, what does it mean to inherit the earth? It means that whatever problems we have from the earth, any things that we need to overcome in the earth, we can inherit it. It's something that we can now control. It's something we can overcome. See, we're inheriting all the problems and all the situations of the earth. So if you're in depression, you can overcome it. If you have a problem with alcohol or other addictions, you can overcome the things of the earth. You can inherit the good things from the earth. But it talks about that blessed are those who are meek. And so what does it mean to be meek? A lot of people think of meek and they think it of another word is for gentle. But it's really not meaning gentle. And the way I want to express this is that I've heard it said that it's like a war horse, a big, strong war horse that's well trained. And the rider rides it right into the middle of battle where the horse doesn't want to really be. And he'd rather be off in the pasture someplace. But he rides into the middle of the battle and is fully submitted to the rider. And so he's meek, he's there able, but he's still strong and able to endure what in the middle of the battle. When I was 12 years old, my brother and I wanted to have a horse. So we talked our dad into it, and he found this mare horse from, and we went over there, and the rider, the woman who owned it, just found out she was pregnant and decided she couldn't have a horse anymore, and so she wanted to get rid of the horse, so she rode it around. It seemed like it was well under control, and we brought it home, and, you know, me being 12, my brother being 13, we weren't doing very well with the horse. We would go out and try to put the saddle on it, and it would kick and bite and carry on, and we couldn't handle the horse. So we were a little bit upset about it. But we had a nice pen for it in the back of the barn, and we would feed it and take care of it. And so the way things worked on the weekends, my dad had to take care of the barn Sunday morning, so either my brother or I, we alternated, would get up a given morning, and early February morning, it was my turn. So I went up to the barn and was taking care of what I needed to do to give hay to the cows, and then I would go down and take care of the horse. So I opened up the door to where the horse was, and her name was Lady, and I opened it up, and I looked down there, and Lady had a colt. So this was the problem with the horses. She didn't want to be touched because she was well pregnant at the time. Now, trying to put a saddle on her and, you know, no way she wanted that, right? So I saw this horse and I was so excited, and I opened up the door and I yelled up at my dad and I said, "Come down here, Dad. You need to come now. Lady had a colt." And he's up there hand milking a cow for the other whatever, and he said, yeah, I'll be down in a minute. And I said, no, you need to come down now. Lady had a colt. So I keep yelling this and saying, yeah, I'll be there in a minute. And so finally he saw I wasn't going to give up, so he comes down and he looks in there and he says, "Lady has a colt. Why didn't you tell me Lady had a colt?" And he's a little hard to hear, and he thought I was saying Lady has a cold. You know, he'd say, yeah, I'll take care of it in a minute. You know, this 12-year-old doesn't know anything, right? And so what an exciting thing. You know, we had a new colt, and I ran down to the house and got my brother up, and we came up and looked at the horse and the colt. And And so my grandfather came down, who knew horses really well, and he didn't know that the horse was pregnant either, because we just had it for a couple months. And then we found out the lady who owned it before us only had it a couple months as well, so no one knew that she had gotten pregnant. And we didn't realize the size of the horse change because it was so late. So anyway, my grandfather said, well, this is what you need to do to train the horse. So he put a halter on it, and he says, what you need to do is put your hands and rub the horse and rub it down and put your hands all over the horse so the horse gets used to you. And that's exactly what this word meekness, meek, means. In the Latin, it's mansutus, which man means hand, and the sutus means used to. So meekness is about being used to the hand. And so to train the horse, you know, train this little colt, you know, you'd first have to catch it and get the halter on it, so now you had a way to control the horse, and she would be very, we named her Flame, because she was very red. And we would, you know, you would go up to touch it and she would shy back and whatever. But after a while, you know, she would get used to your hand and knew that you weren't going to strike her. And she would start to allow you to touch her and work with her. And then she would allow you to lead her with a halter. And so you started this training process where now the horse is able to receive and not be afraid and be strong and not be rebellious with that. So it's exactly what God is saying to us, is that we need to get used to God's hand on us. We need to become meek, so that we get used to his hand on us. And when we do that, then we're able to overcome all the things of this world, and we're able to inherit the things of this earth. That brings me to a psalm. It's Psalm 32, verse 8. If you want to turn there with me, I wanted to talk about another aspect of this. In Psalm 32, starting at verse 8 and 9, it first starts off and God is talking, and the Lord says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. And then he says, do not be like the horse or the mule, who has no understanding, which must be harnessed with a bit and a bridle, lest they will not come near to you. See, even though the horse gets used to my hand and gets trained to do whatever he needs to do, I still needed to put a bridle on them to be able to keep them under control. Because the horse has, and the mule has, no understanding. But with God, he wants us to get used to his hand, but with understanding. He wants us to truly know him. And so he's saying, you know, with the horse, who has no understanding, you had to have the bit and the bridle, lest they won't come near to you. See, God wants us to come near to him, to get used to his hand upon us. And that happens by being led by the Spirit and by being walking in the Spirit. And when we do that, then he trains our hands for war. He prepares us so that we can take care of the situations of life. And he does that by giving us not only his touch and not being afraid of him, but he also gives it with understanding so that we can have understanding of what he is doing and why he was doing it. In verse 8 it says, I want to go back to that. It says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you shall go. See, God wants to lead us in the way that we should go. And he says that he'll instruct us and teach us. You see, that's the point, that he wants us to have understanding of what he's doing in our life. Many times people say, well, I don't know what God is doing. Well, you know, you need to ask him. You need to find out what he is doing so that you can know, because he wants to instruct you. He wants to teach you in the way that you should go. And then he says this. I have to tell you another story. When I was maybe a little younger, at 8 years old, my dad and my brother and I, we went over to another person's house. And I didn't know these people. And we went in the house, and my dad started talking with the man of the house. And we came into the house, we didn't know these people, and we didn't know their house, and so I'm standing there not knowing what to do. You know, should I sit down, or should I stay in the car? You know, should I stay on the porch? You know, what should I do? But I found myself in the living room, and I'm looking at my dad because I didn't know what to do, and he takes his eyes and he goes like this. And he just told me to go sit on the couch, right? Because he led me, or he instructed me by his eye, right? And the only way that I could receive and be led by him by his eye is that I was looking into his face. I wasn't distracted, you know, looking around to see what toys were in the house, or you know, what does the pictures look like in the house? I was looking at him. I was looking into his face. And then he was able to put me at ease and put me so I could sit at the couch and just relax until the conversation was over, and then we left. And this is exactly the way God wants, one of the ways that God leads us. And the only way he can lead us or guide us in this way is that if we're looking into his face. So on the one hand, he's taking his hands, and we're getting used to his hands, how he touches us and how he works with us. On the other point is that we need to be looking at him, looking into his face, so that we can see where he wants to lead us or guide us. And these are the two things that I think that through the Holy Spirit is how he leads us, how we walk with him, is that we need to build this relationship with him so that we get used to the way he does things and understand that we can walk with him in peace and not be afraid. And just be able to overcome the things of this world so that we don't have to live in worry or depression or you know, feeling addicted to things and so that we can become strong and meek so that we can overcome. But in the process of overcoming, we build this relationship with him that is the most important part of the process, is that once we know him, then we know his ways. And we, even though we may go through difficult things, and maybe are going through difficult things, we can trust in him and not be afraid, because we know he's got us. We know he'll take care of us. And so I just wanted to have us cultivate this relationship of being led by his Spirit and being walking in the Spirit. And it says if we do that, we will not give over to the desires of the flesh. So if we find people that are not able to overcome things, this is the issue, that they're not being led by the Spirit. They're not walking in the Spirit, but they are living their life with still maybe a stony heart, and they need to have that heart fully taken out and given back, that heart of flesh, so that they can be able to receive everything from the Lord that He wants us to have. So thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You come and You fill us with Your Holy Spirit. We thank You, Lord, that You give us joy, and in that joy we're able to overcome all things, O God. We thank You, Lord, for Your Holy Spirit that comes and leads us and shows us and teaches us Your ways. So, Lord, I pray that we would be looking into Your face to be led by Your eye, to be guided by Your eye in all that we do. So, Lord, be with us today as we remember all the good things that You have done with us. And we want Your hand to be upon us, O God. We want to become a strong and meek, as the meek horse is so strong to be able to overcome even the fiercest battle. We thank You for that, Lord, that we are like that in Your hands, able to do things that we would not be able to do if we were still a wild horse. So, Lord, I pray that You would tame us, that You would gentle us, that You would help us not to be afraid of things any longer, that we could go and do the mighty works that You have given into our hands each day. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Amen.